Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
On this cold Saturday morning, we'll keep it running for you. All you have to do is call or text. And Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, he is an ASC certified technician there. In fact, he kind of is the boss there, and he shows up every Saturday here on CCO Radio to help you out with any kind of a car care question you may have. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Danny. I'm calling you from Moorhead, Minnesota.
A little chilly there, too, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it might be a little chilly here than it is there, but it is Minnesota, and it is winter, so this is what we have.
All right. Well, it's good to glad you're nice and warm and cozy there, getting ready to answer a few car care questions. We already have a few to begin with. But yeah, just a note to our listeners, especially new listeners. Our time goes by so quickly. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 this morning, making way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later, as we like to say. Call or text, yeah, if you want to call and chat with Nick, or if it's easier just to send a text, they both work. 651-461-9226. Of course, we're going to be getting cold-related questions this morning, naturally so. Here's one that came in earlier. Does it matter how full your gas tank is in cold weather? We get this from time to time. I think we had something similar last week. What about that? We talk about the fuel pumps inside the gas tank itself, but as far as, I assume this listener is talking about line freezing or something like that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. Not with ethanol in the fuel. That'll absorb all that water, so you have no risk of anything freezing. But I think the biggest issue is not really with the vehicle, but if unfortunately or uneventfully, if you end up stranded or stuck, it'd be nice to have a full tank to be able to keep that car running to keep you warm, you know, in the event that you're waiting for someone to come pull you out or pick you up. So I would, I think always, whether it's summer or winter, try to keep the tank above half would be ideal. I know it's not always reality, but if you can do that, that'd be best practice.
You know, I was talking to somebody just the other day about tire pressure, and I'm looking at a text that came in a bit ago. Good morning, texter says, how long can you drive once your low tire pressure light comes on? The light is not flashing. That's why I really love the cars that have the actual PSI. On your dash, you can check out, you know, and again, you've told me they're relatively accurate, right?
They are, and that is a good point. It is nice when it gives you the actual PSI versus just that it's low. And to the, you know, answer that question, how long can you drive? Well, that depends on if it actually has an active leak or if it's just like that winter adjustment that we talk about every fall, where as temperatures start to dip, those tire pressures will adjust a little bit because the air is colder, it's a little bit lighter, that PSI will drop just a few PSI, not significant, but just a couple, oftentimes enough to turn that light on. So if you top those tires back up, look inside the driver's door, there's a little placard there that gives you the PSI setting. Put the tires back to that, or maybe go one or two PSI higher than that, and you should be just fine. If the light comes back on, that tells me that we have a leak, and you should probably have that repaired before you end up with a flat and stuck somewhere.
I'm thinking about if you need to go out and get a tire pressure gauge, and at 5 below 0, that's not fun, because if you don't have that exact PSI, it's really a handy feature on some cars. I wish they would make it for all cars. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Joan checking in from Roseville this morning, this chilly morning. Hi, Joan. What's your question for Nick?
Oh, good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a 2015 Chevy Equinox, and I understand that there was an engine recall on it. If the engine burns so much oil, and I guess mine wasn't eligible. But now I have a mechanic that says that a week before I get an oil change, I should put seafoam half into the oil and half into the tank. And I'm just wondering if that makes sense to you.
What do you think about those additives?
So additives, first of all, always use as it's described on the can. There's a lot of opinions and thoughts out there. That's a good detergent. It can help if it following the directions on the can. If it wants you to run that through the engine for a period of time before you change it, I think that's probably okay. But make sure you don't go longer as advertised, or don't do more than it says, because that's often the problem where people think, well, a little is good, a lot might be better. And that's probably not the case. You don't want to create any damage internally. And that seafoam is going to kind of help with that oil sludge cleaning out some of that buildup that's happened over that course of thousands of miles. So if you follow the can's directions as ordered, I think it's a fine product.
Oh, very good. Again, our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Here's an interesting question. I know we talk about gasoline blends. Can you explain the difference between the summer blend of gas and the winter blend? Is the winter blend designated to reduce emissions or to help the engine run better? And do you know when that switch takes place? What's the deal with that?
You know, to be honest, I'm not sure if they change it much anymore. I know that there's ethanol in the fuel year-round, which it absorbs the moisture. Ethanol's alcohol, comes from the grain that they produce. So it's a good product. Some vehicles can use a higher percentage of ethanol, you know, those E85 vehicles and such. So, I think it's a good part of the fuel, or a good additive of the fuel now, because it really helps keep it, keeps the moisture down, keeps from the condensation, keeps from water, things from freezing. So I know they used to change it fall and spring, but I think the ethanol is in the fuel year round now. I'm not sure if they changed the mix of it or not, to be honest.
Yeah, that's maybe somebody who knows will let us know, but that's a good question. But you're probably right, it's in year round. I was talking to my daughter the other day about, and she drives a hybrid, as my son does, and I never really thought about this before. We talked about jump starting a hybrid, and I was looking at some video about that very thing. We're talking about the 12-volt battery that most of us have in our regular cars. There's a difference, at least in this particular Toyota model. But I find it very interesting. The 12-volt battery is not generally in the engine compartment. It's like in the trunk or the back seat or something, right?
Yes, the 12-volt battery can be hidden now, too. It used to always be under the hood. Sometimes it can be under the passenger seat of the vehicle or even in the trunk. So you need to do a little research to see where your 12-volt battery is. The hybrid battery is pretty well protected. You won't be able to gain access to it very easily without a lot of disassembly. So when you're jump-starting any vehicle, they're referring to the 12-volt battery. You do not mess around with a high-voltage battery. It has nothing to do with jump-starting a vehicle. Doesn't have anything to do with the gasoline portion of that system. So, but it's the same old tale. When you do a jump-start a vehicle, make sure you know what you're doing. If you're uncomfortable, unsure, don't do it, especially with electronics in cars today. If you get those cables backwards, you can short something out and create a very significant cost in repair. So don't Don't try to jumpstart a car unless you've done it many, many times. Do your research. And that's my best advice on that.
Very good. Nick, we're going to take a break. We're going to see if we can't iron out some technical problems here with this echo situation here. But if you have any kind of a car question, now's your chance. Information is free. Just call or text Nick, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we're at a -5, 5 below zero. The wind chill at 21 below. We have more car care talk coming up here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's a Saturday morning in CCO land on this early, chilly 5 below Saturday. It's the 13th of December. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive, answering any kind of a car care question you may have. Can be cold related. It could be any kind of a car care question. Nick, for those that maybe need some help with Lloyd's, tell us where you're located there on Grand Avenue.
Absolutely. If you are in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. Stop and say hi. However, if you do have a question, we will always help you. Feel free to call 651-228-1316. And if you're looking for more information or more of that information, you can find it on our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. So call us or text us. Love to hear from you. Any kind of a car care question, you don't have to be a motorhead or a gearhead either. 651-461-9226. Let's see, where do we leave off here? Can you jumpstart a hybrid like a gas-powered car? Clarify, please. You can, right?
Correct. The 12-volt system, the combustion engine systems are the same. You're not doing anything with the hybrid portion of it. You know, it's the positive-positive, negative-negative. Watch some videos if you do need to do that. Ask a friend, a neighbor, or a relative. Just make sure you have the process down foolproof, because you don't want to mix up those cables that will create significant damage.
What I like, again, this was, I'm not sure how many other manufacturers make this, but in this video I was looking at, which is specifically a Toyota RAV4, you would place the jumper cable on the one battery post, and then they have made on the other side of the engine an actual metal block or portion where you could put that other cable, and it's kind of slick. Somebody thought ahead for once.
That's very true. So you do check your owner's manual. It will talk about the spots where you're supposed to jump, you know, because like I said, oftentimes you can't reach that negative cable.
Yeah,
a lot of times there's
yeah.
the access port even for the positive. So to make sure you do your research, you know, I can't stress enough, because we see several cars get towed in where they attempted a jump start and now a module or a computer has been shorted out and it's very expensive. So make sure you know exactly what you're doing before you head down that path.
Yeah, interesting topic. I told my daughter, I said, this is news to me, and a lot of people drive hybrids, and I think it's good information to have. We're getting more questions about that. And you just suggested, always a good suggestion, read the owner's manual, or you can find some great videos about that very thing on the Google or other search engines. I'm looking at another text, Nick. If we park outside, how many times during the day, like today, do we need to warm up our cars? What's your thought about warming up cars in cold days like this?
Well, I think the car doesn't necessarily care. Once it's been running for a few moments, most of the fluids are flowing. The car's fine. It's usually our comfort. We want to let the vehicle warm up to get some heat going. If you're concerned about the battery, you really need to drive the car. If you start the vehicle and let it idle, the alternator is not spinning fast enough, so therefore it can't create enough current to recharge that battery. So you're kind of breaking even at best. And if you do that too many times, you're really kind of wearing the battery down. So if you need to run an errand, you know, on a cold day and the roads are clear and you feel good about it, take the long route if you need to, so you can get a few extra minutes in there to allow that alternator to charge that battery and keep it fully charged. But starting the vehicle, let it in idling, other than for a few moments to get a little bit of heat in our comfort, the vehicle doesn't need it necessarily.
Nick, getting a couple of text messages about, and we get this all the time, about how long should you warm up a car. And I was looking at information about that very thing an hour or two ago. And this advice said 30 to 60 seconds is fine. Well, I'm thinking 5 below, or maybe it's 20 below. To me, 30, I need more time for me to warm up. I'm thinking about a car that's been sitting out in sub-zero weather for hours. 30 seconds doesn't seem to be long enough, but you're the mechanic. Can the fluids and the thickened oil, can that all be warmed up that quickly?
Well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily warmed up until everything's, you know, up to running temperature, so it takes several minutes. But I think as far as the functionality of the vehicle, it is fine after just a minute. You know, I think it's more of our comfort. Make sure the windows are cleared, you know, take that moment, scrape your windshield and, you know, do as such. And I think in that time it takes to do those tasks, that the vehicle will be warmed up enough for you to hop on and head down the road.
I'm looking at a text. And, by the way, if you have a car care question, 651-461-9226. You can make it either a phone call or a text. This text says this: I keep a battery tender on my vehicle in this extremely cold weather in my garage, mainly because I don't drive every day. It's basically a comment. But I'm thinking about one of your mechanics. I can't remember who. Maybe it was Mike that told me, don't leave, the battery tenders are great, but don't just plug it in and leave it there for a long time, for hours, maybe 4 or 5 hours at a time if you're not driving. And why was he saying that? What can that do to your battery?
Well, depending on what you have, a battery charger for sure, a lot of times the newer battery tenders have a float. So when it sees the voltage hit the correct level, it'll kind of float, meaning shutting that off, so it's not continually overcharging the battery. And also, a battery tender is just that, it's a maintainer where it is giving it maybe an amp or so of current, so it's just topping the battery off. If your battery is dead, it's not going to charge the battery, so it is just a maintainer. If you have a vehicle stored, to run the maintainer to keep the battery topped up is probably a good idea. Obviously, we're not going to remember every other day to go there and unplug it. So if it's a newer one that has the float built into it, it'll shut itself off and it's probably just fine.
Maybe that's what on my battery tender that I've had for a few years, maybe it's got an abbreviation after it reaches a certain point. It's FLO. Is that what that means?
It would mean float. So it's like you'll see the light toggle where it'll come on. It'll be like red or green, and depending on the piece of equipment. But yeah, the float would mean that it's no longer adding current to the battery because it sees the voltage at the necessary level.
Well, so that's kind of a safety feature. I like that. I did not know that.
Absolutely.
I should read the manual. Okay. Any advice? I'm looking at a text of where to buy an aftermarket car starter and where to have it installed. You guys get requests for that?
We do. We're not in that realm. Be very, very careful, especially where there's some of them that need to be wired in. And if somebody doesn't know exactly what they're doing and they're in the harness, it could create more problems for you. Some of them are plug and play, which is preferred, obviously. So do your research. There are some outfits around town that do offer that. So maybe get online and read some reviews and make sure before you go in, you know what you're getting and who's working on it. Because like I said, you don't want to create a bigger problem for you and your vehicle.
All right. Another text says this: when I first start my vehicle, the oil pressure gauge reads zero, even though it's full of oil. The vehicle seems to run okay. And after about 5 minutes, when it warms up, the gauge reads normally for the rest of the time the car's warm. What are your thoughts about that? The vehicle is a 2000 F-150.
Well, I'm suspecting there's something wrong with either the gauge, the sending unit, or the wiring in between. If there is truly zero oil pressure, that's not good for the engine. So I would confirm that that's not the fact. You say it warms up, and then it seems to be reading fine, which makes me think there's something wrong with that sending unit. So maybe next time you're in for service, or next time you make an appointment, maybe it's best practice to drop it off the night before, let the shop or the dealership be the first ones to see that in the morning, and they can maybe do a couple tests to figure out what's going on.
All right, very good. It'd be nice to have an oil pressure gauge. How many vehicles still have oil pressure gauges?
Either a gauge or a light, you know, they're still there. And that's a red, looks like an oil can oftentimes. So if you see that coming on, that tells you the engine's not getting lubricated like it should. So that could be a big warning and a big get that looked at right away.
All right, before we break for that chilling forecast, but it's a warm-up, let's grab a phone call. Kelly calling in from West St. Paul this morning. Kelly, thank you. What's your question for Nick?
I have an answer about winter gas versus summer gas.
Oh, sure.
Okay, it's 10% ethanol year round, but the gasoline component does change. In the winter time, it has more volatiles in it, like butane and propane, to ease cold weather starting. And those volatile components have less energy. So that's one of the many reasons why your fuel mileage will go down in the winter, because winter gas has more volatiles in it and therefore less energy, and mileage is related to energy. And then a note on warming up cars. You let it run a few seconds and the oil is circulating and you can slowly drive off. When an engine is idling, particularly in cold weather, it's very dirty. So please don't just sit there and let your car idle. Drive it.
All right, Kelly. Great, great insight. Hey, Nick, good to have Kelly on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we always say, we have absolutely the best listeners around.
Absolutely. Kelly, thank you so much. Great information. We're going to take a break and see when that warm-up is happening, and it will happen. Then we have a few more minutes to answer any kind of a car care question you may have. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226, right here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, chilly Grand Avenue this morning. Nick, let's grab a phone call. Bob is checking in from Painesville this morning. Bob, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Yeah, I have a 2008 Pontiac Grand Prix, and it's got that in-dash air pressure like you were talking about before.
Right.
Anyway, when the tires get rotated, does that mix up the correct reading as far as left, right, left, front, etc.?
That is a great question, and yes, it does. You need to reinitialize those locations. Sometimes it's within the vehicle. Sometimes you need a scan tool to do that, but that will happen where some people have their tires rotated. Then they'll end up with a low tire, and they'll say it's the passenger front tire that's low, and they keep adding air and checking the pressure, and like, well, there's nothing wrong here. Well, here it's on the other side of the vehicle, and they didn't notice that. So if you're having a problem, make sure you check all four tires. If you do have your tires rotated, make sure they do reinitialize those locations so you have an accurate reading and location.
That's a great question. I never really thought about that before. Thank you for the call. Again, 651-461-9226. Nick will be with us for a little less than 10 minutes or so, 8 minutes or so from right here, just for your information. Texter says this: my check engine light is on a GMC 2007 Envoy. Coating says something about a cooling/heat sensor. Is this something to be concerned about running the vehicle safely?
I guess I'd have to see it, to be totally honest. Not necessarily. I guess I'd want a little more information before I give you my final opinion there.
Yeah, okay. I guess you need more information. It needs to be checked out. Here's a question. I haven't thought about this for years. A listener wants to know, basically, do they still make block heaters? And is that something that we can still add to our vehicles, or are they ever come standard?
You know, that's a great question. Some vehicles are equipped with them. Oftentimes, you know, the old ones used to be like a magnet that you would stick onto the engine block. Well, engine blocks are now aluminum, which the magnet won't stick to. So it isn't necessarily something that's easily installed. And to be totally honest, I don't think it's necessary. If you keep a full tank of fuel, you have a good battery, you're up to speed on your oil changes, even on the coldest of days, the vehicle should start and run. It's usually when we have some maintenance that's been neglected that we run into troubles with vehicles flooding out or not starting and running properly.
What's the issue with we talk about summer weather sometimes being worse on a car's battery than winter, but what happens, and you've addressed it before, that if it's really frozen, if you haven't driven this vehicle for a long time and it's sub-zero temperature and the battery freezes, is that always does that mean the death of that battery, always?
It does. You know, if a battery freezes, the water separates, the battery's no longer going to work. Oftentimes, they'll swell up and like freeze like a rock, quite honestly. So if your car sits for an extended period of time and it's extremely cold out, you do run the risk of the battery freezing. And once it freezes, that's unfortunately the end of it. And like you mentioned, the summer, the heat is also very hard on the battery. But I think we notice it in the wintertime because as things get colder, the engine's turnover slower, the oil's thicker, we need more demand from that battery. If the battery doesn't have that reserve, it's not going to start the vehicle. So I think we notice the problems in the winter months, but oftentimes the wear and tear happens in the summer.
Texter wants to know, given newer cars, what do you recommend to changing the coolant in cars, these newer cars? And a follow-up question is, what's the blend? Is there a 50-50 mixture, antifreeze and water? How often should one, first of all, that's the first question, how often does generally these newer cars need a coolant change?
You know, once again, back to the owner's manual, but as a general number, it's usually around 100,000 miles. The cooling systems have really evolved. The engines have evolved where you don't have as much combustion sneaking its way from the mechanics of the engine into the cooling system, so it allows that coolant to do its job longer. Obviously, the coolant protects, but it also lubricates things like the water pump and other internal items. So 100,000 miles is typically the world that the coolant lives in. Check the owner's manual. And then it is a mix when we do refill it or exchange it. Oftentimes it'll come pre-mixed, so make sure you read the bottle very carefully. You don't want to dilute it too far and have problems with something freezing. So make sure you read the bottle. Make sure you're also buying the correct product for your vehicle. A lot of times there's different additives in the cooling systems, so each make might be a little bit different. So do a little research before you head down that down to the store and buy it.
You know, Nick, you and I talked for years about how well these are cars of ours treat us. I mean, we kind of get lulled into this complacency that, I mean, I wonder how many of us, I don't, think, let me check my coolant level. Or wonder how it's cleaned it, or maybe I'll check the owner's manual. They take pretty good care of us, and we do kind of forget things, don't we?
We absolutely do. You know, if you're old enough, you can remember you would go to the filling station to get gas, and you'd pop the hood and check your oil. You had a tire pressure gauge in your glove box. You'd check your tires, and we used to do a lot more of that ourselves, top off the washer fluid. Now, if you can get the hood open, number one, you look under there and you can't find anything because there's a lot of these plastic noise dampening features there that make it almost impossible to even check those items. So do familiar yourself. You know, maybe not today on the coldest day of the year, but on a nice spring day, you know, open the hood, get familiar with some of the working parts of your vehicle. In the event you have some trouble, you have a little bit of knowledge to help yourself out.
I'm looking at a text, and I was wondering if we were going to get any receive any text messages like this today. What's the best approach for a car lock that freezes?
Well, hopefully times have changed. You know, used to have use the key to open the car, and the cylinder would freeze as such. But, you know, to be honest, like the electric lock shouldn't freeze unless, you know, and a significant amount of moisture got in there, which isn't likely. If it's a tumbler that's frozen, on a day like today, I would probably tell you to be very careful with spraying anything in there. And I know there's a lot of opinions, you know, it used to be graphite or something that would absorb or de-thaw, warm up the key. We've heard a lot of things that people have used in the past. Just be very careful. Anything you try, use in moderation. You don't want to make a bigger problem for yourself.
And you and I have talked about exercising during warmer days, those door locks with the key that comes out of your fob is kind of working out a little bit.
Absolutely. All the features in our vehicle that are there to help us when we're in trouble, we need to try them out when we're not in trouble to make sure they're going to work when we do need them.
Absolutely. All right. I'm looking at the clock. It looks like we're pretty much out of time. So, again, for those folks that maybe need help from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick, before we let you go, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. So if you have any questions, please don't hesitate. We'll always answer 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. You can find all that information more at our website, which, as you know, Denny, is lloydsautomotive.net.
Got to get in for another oil change one of these days. Excellent. All right, Nick, thank you so much. Nick, let's do this again next week.
Sounds like a date.
Very good. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Get ready for Ted Farrell from Haskell's Wine Chat, and then yes, I know it's 5 below. We're going to talk lawns and gardens in the next hour with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.